Yeah, it was rough. It was rough. I would not wish it on my worst enemy.
This is the best of the week on Relevant Radio.
Do you know anyone who has struggled with infertility? I remember years ago when I was struggling through my autoimmune diseases, I had no idea what doctors couldn't figure out what it was, what was going on. But what they continued to see was there was an autoimmune disease that was undiagnosed. And when I was in my early 20s, I had multiple doctors say, I might have a difficult time having children. And I remember at the time talking to my boyfriend, who's now my husband, just mentioning that because I thought it was important to be candid. And it was something on my heart at the time. And praise the Lord, we've had children. We had to use some medical interventions that were wholesome and approved by the Catholic Church that worked with my body and honored life. And yet I was always surprised how many people who maybe knew just a little bit of my story before we had children who would come and say, just try IVF. And I knew what the Catholic Church taught about in vitro fertilization and surrogacy. And sometimes people think that the church's teaching on IVF and surrogacy and various fertility treatments are cold and harsh and cruel and thoughtless toward people struggling with infertility. But here's a question I have for you. Have you ever talked to someone who went through with IVF? Have you yourself? Do you know the success rate of in vitro fertilization? Do you know the impact on the woman? There's much to be said and discussed, and my guest today is Dr. Susan Caldwell. Now, she's a medical physician who today helps treat women struggling with infertility. But many years ago, she herself went through with in vitro fertilization. She has babies as a result of it, and praise God, we celebrate all human life. Even if you were conceived through in vitro fertilization, or you have a child who was. I even have family members, extended family members from IVF, and praise God for their lives. However, just because we can doesn't mean we should. The means of getting there aren't always right. And that's part of what we talk about in morality, in Catholic morality. And so what I want to do is peel back the lens of infertility and dive into a real life story of in vitro fertilization. Joining me now is Dr. Susan Caldwell. Dr. Caldwell, welcome back to Trending, and thank you for coming and sharing such a personal topic here on the show.
Thank you, Timory. I love to be here and with you and share this story. It's a very twisted tale, but praise God, I learned a lot, and hopefully I can share that wisdom with your listeners.
Oh, you're one of my favorite guests, and often we're talking about solutions and help for people with infertility, but in many respects, you're the case of the women who come to you today. This is your story. Let's start a little bit at the beginning. I know you were cradle Catholic, if I'm correct, and you ended up going to medical school, got married. Kick us off with a little bit of you and where you were coming from as you navigated what you thought about fertility and contraception and all of these women's issues that are storming around us today.
Yes. Yeah, I was cradle Catholic. I made my confirmation in eighth grade. And then, like so many of us Catholics, we quote unquote graduate, you know, around confirmation time. And really, that's where my formation kind of ended. And I left Catholic school at that time and started public school and just started believing what the world believed about sex and marriage and babies and all those things. And I just thought, I just drank the Kool-Aid and believed, you know, I just figured out things on my own. Yeah, got married and wanted children ever, as long as I can remember, wanted to be a mother and I wanted to be a doctor. I wanted everything, you know, all the, I just had all these great dreams and plans. And I took birth control for about 10 years because I had really bad periods, which turned out to be due to endometriosis, I later found out. But I naively thought that I could just stop birth control magically after 10 years and then get pregnant right away because I wanted to. Not realizing how horrible birth control is and what it does to a woman's fertility. Many times women struggle to get pregnant after birth control. So I had a timeline with medical school and between medical school and starting my residency, and I wasn't working. My signs of my fertility weren't there. I learned some rudimentary natural family planning method and didn't look like I was ovulating. And I had a friend who worked at a fertility clinic where they specialized in IVF. And I really didn't know much about the whole process, just that I wanted a baby and badly. So I started the process there. They did a surgery, found endometriosis, and I think they tried to treat it in some way. But, you know, the tests show they really didn't know why I wasn't able to conceive. Of course, I hadn't really tried very long. And I made it clear to the doctors that I wanted, you know, we wanted a baby, we wanted it soon. And so we moved on. They offered intrauterine insemination, which is a procedure where they gave me medication to help me ovulate. My husband had to collect semen, and then they introduced that semen after it was washed and prepared into my womb at a particular time. And I think we did that maybe two or three times, and that did not result in a pregnancy. So when we asked what was the next step, it wasn't any further evaluation. It wasn't checking hormone levels. It wasn't, you know, anything other than IVF. So that was offered.
So you never had any sort of evaluation other than a diagnosis of your endometriosis, but nothing that tried to help navigate how can we work with your body and see, because you had just started trying to have babies after years of preventing babies.
Right. And so I think now that I'm now helping women to conceive naturally, I think there was so much more that could have been done and looked at, but it was very, you know, and I don't want to blame the clinic per se, because I was in a hurry. And that's what they're in. What I want everybody to hear is those fertility clinics are in the business of IVF. That's what they're there to do. They're not in the business to heal and to treat underlying causes of infertility. They are there. It is a business. It is a multi-billion dollar industry that I believe was created out of the birth control mentality. In other words, if birth control in the 60s was meant to, you know, it was the only medicine given, the first time a medicine was given to a healthy person to cause them to be sick, right, to make their reproductive system not function. So after this great experiment, now we're seeing this epidemic, if you will, of infertility because we've caused it. We just have to be honest that we live in a very toxic world and environment. You know, over 90% of adults in the United States are metabolically unhealthy, whether that's insulin resistance, prediabetes, diabetes. We have access to terrible food, polluted water. I mean, I go on and on. So it's really hard to be healthy. And so fertility comes from health. So a lot of us aren't healthy. And so we need to be able to address those underlying health concerns from a root cause level before we expect to get pregnant. But what people are doing, they're stepping over all of that investigation and just saying, I want to live my life the way I want to live it. I don't care how I feel. I just want a baby. So it's really a bad setup. And this is kind of where we are today with all of the issues with IVF.
And we'll dive more into the topic, because if you're wondering why are we discussing this, it's hot on the topics in the media right now with Alabama granting personhood to babies, frozen embryos, in the earliest stages of development with over a million of them frozen. What do we do with these babies? But also, what do you do if you're struggling with infertility? Some people say there should be a legal federal right to infertility treatment, but goes contrary to what the church teaches. And my point of view is, listen, I know what the church teaches might seem harsh when, like you said, Susan, you just wanted a baby. You wanted the baby badly, and you wanted it now. You wanted the baby in your time between medical school and your residency, and yet it didn't happen. And so here you are. You start the in vitro fertilization process. I would like to hear about this journey. What was the process of IVF like for you?
Yeah, it was rough. It was rough. I would not wish it on my worst enemy. So they start, first of all, what people have to realize is this is kind of a one-size-fits-all approach, right? So they give everyone medication. And for me, that started with shots that would cause me to ovulate super abundantly. right? Which is much, it was very unnatural, right? Normally a woman ovulates, she has one egg a month that ovulates. And I ovulated 20 to 30 eggs with the medicine they gave me. They didn't intend for it to be that strong, but it was. So they gave me the medicine. Then they monitored, I believe, with blood tests and ultrasounds to be sure that my levels, hormone levels, were rising. And then at around the time when it was time to ovulate, I was given a shot of a hormone called HCG, a trigger shot, they call it, that would cause me to release the eggs that were there. And then my husband, again, get a sample, sperm sample, and I went through a procedure where they harvested the eggs, which it's kind of a like a pap smear, but the doctor goes in with a long, very long needle to aspirate each one of the eggs, and then those eggs are put together in the lab with my husband's semen, and they are allowed to come together, and embryos were formed. And so in that process, there were over 20 embryos that were formed. There were many, many, and they were all graded according to certain characteristics of health. There were very good ones, there were less good ones, and they took the top three after our little meeting where we, you know, kind of, he gave us our chances and our kind of the health of the cycle. We put three of those fertilized embryos back into my womb. So, you know, maybe a week or so later after those embryos were created, went back and into another procedure where they put through a straw or a catheter through my cervix, the opening of the womb. They placed those the three embryos there. So about maybe a week later, I started having severe abdominal pain, and I felt very weak, and I was vomiting, and I felt very, very sick. I was not able to walk because of the weakness and my low blood pressure. Mm-hmm. And when it got there, they diagnosed me with a condition called ovarian hyperstimulation, mm-hmm. which can be very dangerous and life-threatening. Mm-hmm. So they admitted me into the hospital and gave me fluids and electrolytes because I was very, very sick. I remember my potassium level was so critically low that as a doctor, I knew that this was bad and that I may end up in the ICU, even though I didn't. And I was very worried, to tell you the truth, because I knew an OBGYN may not be equipped to manage this case, you know? Yes. And I was worried. I'm like, oh my goodness. I felt like I was going to die. I felt very helpless. And then he let us know that the reason why I was so sick was because I was indeed pregnant. And they could tell that because of the blood test. They didn't have an ultrasound at that time. The blood test showed that I was pregnant. And so what happens when the pregnancy hormone is in a woman's system is it causes all of those follicles that released eggs to continue to be active and they were each pouring fluid into my abdomen, filling my abdomen with fluid. And that's why I was so dehydrated and so weak. And so very soon we were able to get the news that we had three growing lives in my womb. So each one of those embryos had implanted, but each of the embryos had a dangerous sac of blood under each of their placentas. And they told me that it's possible I could lose the three of them because of it. At 9 weeks, so I was on strict bed rest. At 9 weeks, I went to have another ultrasound. I was having weekly ultrasounds. Mm. So at 9 weeks, one of the babies had lost the heartbeat. And they told me it's very possible that when you come back next week, there might not be any babies still alive. Mm. So this, you know, talk about being not part of my plan, right? Mm. This was not part of my plan. I didn't plan to take, you know, now I knew, oh gosh, you know, this is a serious, like, life-threatening condition that I've gotten myself into at this point. And so fortunately, the twins now were fine, but I had to stay on bed rest for the entire pregnancy. And it was touch and go the entire pregnancy. So it was just total fear. I didn't want to plan a baby shower. I didn't want to decorate the rooms. Mm-hmm. I thought, you know, this could be any moment now. I could find out the babies are gone. It was torture the entire time. But fortunately, they were born at 36 weeks through a very crazy day. I had one through a vaginal delivery, and then 3 hours later, the other one had to be delivered via C-section because he wouldn't turn and his head was big, and that was a nightmare. And then I had all kinds of complications from that complicated delivery that kept me in the hospital for a week with all kinds. I don't even want to, I mean, it just sounds like a movie. And so I was very sick, and I didn't go to work for months and months after that because I was so depleted, and I had to have wound care from the C-section wound. So back to the embryos that were left, they were five additional embryos survived that entire process, and they were frozen. And then 4 years later, we went back and defrosted the embryos, ready to have an embryo transfer, and only two of the five survived the defrosting, and then two were implanted, and then one baby was born, and that's my daughter. 4 years later. So, yeah.
Your journey through IVF, I can't even imagine. I'm just giving you a moment to breathe because what you just shared, Susan, I'm so grateful that you're willing to share this because I think a lot of people say, well, just do IVF, and they have no clue. I remember I read your story probably about 10 years ago for the first time, and then there was so much more to what happened, to see from the ovarian hyperstimulation. I mean, you were scared for your life. And then at the same time, you're finding out that the baby sacs are surrounded with blood and that you have a chorionic hemorrhage around the babies and that now you're worried about your baby's lives. And you've already gone through this process of IVF knowing that initially you have 20 embryos. It's 20 babies in the earliest stage of development. And then they drop down to just three that you implant and five that are frozen, and thinking about all the other babies who died in this process. And I know you know this topic so well. You're used to talking to it. Women who come to you who have tried IVF or are considering it or looking for other solutions. And when people say, well, why don't you just try IVF? They don't know what they are consigning a woman to when she tries to have a baby at all costs. This entire episode of Trending with Timory is on the Relevant Radio app. The Relevant Radio app is completely free and updated daily with fresh articles, podcasts, and prayers. Don't delay, download the app today, and thanks for listening.